A successful and sustainable spiritual practice is necessarily a balanced practice. There are some people who think that, well, if I take up a spiritual practice, then I'm going to have to withdraw from my normal daily activities, reduce my emphasis on the activities that normally take up my life, and turn my attention more and more to study, meditation, and so forth, become, as it were, almost a recluse within society. But this is unbalanced. In his book, How to Transform Your Life, Venerable Geshe Kelsang Gyatso Rinpoche says, "We need inner peace, but we also need good physical health. And for this, we need certain external conditions, such as food and a comfortable environment in which to live." He says, "There are many people who concentrate exclusively on developing the material side of their life while completely ignoring spiritual practice. This is one extreme. However, there are other people who concentrate exclusively on spiritual practice while ignoring the material conditions that are necessary for supporting a healthy human life. This is another extreme. We need to maintain a middle way that avoids both extremes of materialism and spirituality." So how do we do this? How do we establish a spiritual practice that avoids the extreme of materialism, where we are completely engrossed in daily activities and pay no attention to our spiritual practice, and the extreme of spirituality, where we're so engrossed in so-called spiritual practice that we ignore all the practicalities of daily life? Where is this balance to be found? As Venerable Geshe has explained in many places, if we practice Kadam Lamrim, then we will naturally find this practice, because Lamrim takes as the basis of our spiritual practice our activities of daily life. We cannot practice Lamrim if we withdraw from daily life. Quite the opposite. The essence of Kadam Lamrim, including Lojong, training the mind, is to take our spiritual practice into our daily life, into our daily activities, to mix our spiritual intentions, our spiritual hopes and aspirations, our spiritual motivations, to mix our spiritual practices with the very activities that take up our daily life, and in this way transform our life into a spiritual path. Venerable Geshe says, "There is no difference between Kadam Dharma and people's everyday experiences. This is because Kadam Dharma accords with people's daily experience. It cannot be separated from daily life." If you read in modern Buddhism, for example, explanation of the preciousness of Kadam Lamrim, he says, "Everyone needs it to make their lives happy and meaningful, to solve temporarily their human problems, and to enable them ultimately to find pure and everlasting happiness through controlling their anger, attachment, jealousy, and especially ignorance." And Venerable Geshe quotes the example given by the great master Drumtompa, where Drumtompa says, "Kadam Dharma is like a mala made of gold." Mala means prayer beads. Kadam Dharma is like prayer beads made of gold. Just as everyone, even those who do not use a mala or prayer beads, would be happy to accept a gift of a gold mala because it was made of gold, in a similar way, everyone, even non-Buddhists, can receive benefit from Kadam Dharma. So this is how precious Kadam Dharma is, and we can say how precious Kadam Lamrim is. We don't withdraw from the activities of daily life. We enter joyfully into the activities of daily life and we transform them. we transform those very activities into our spiritual path by applying the meditations of Kadamramram, taking our special intentions, our special motivations, our special practices into our daily life. This is how we transform our life. So in many places, Venerable Geshe talks about, for example, our meditation practice. And we can say that, you know, meditation is necessarily focused on a virtuous object. So what is a virtuous object? How do we find these virtuous objects in our daily life? Venerable Geshe says, whether an object is virtuous or non-virtuous depends on our position. For example, when our enemy harms us and we practice patience, our enemy is our virtuous object, the object of our patience. But if instead we get angry with him, he is our non-virtuous object, the object of our anger. So it's our choice whether someone or something is our virtuous object or non-virtuous object. And then Venerable Geshe says, we should learn to use all living beings as our virtuous objects, the objects of our compassion and patience, and all phenomena as the objects of our training in emptiness. There is no greater Dharma practice than this.